powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jake, with the audacity to be chowing down on the largest sandwich I've ever seen in my life. If you're watching the stream, by the way, 710sports.com, you can watch us live every day in any of the shows live. Jake's, the sandwich is the size of my whole head.
Do I have any, like, mustard on
No, you're good. You're good, man. You're good.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That delicious. From Harbor Greens here in UP. Oh, so good.
Looking at some of the signings Seattle has yet to make, we just talked about that. Now, let's talk about the signings, acquisitions, free agent acquisitions included that they did make. Jake, you said something really interesting. We were going through our show prep just like we do every morning, and initially we were talking about DJ Reed because DJ Reed has been fantastic. And Pete Carroll was asked whether or not he actually thought he would be an outside corner at all, and said no. And he says Schneider, cut number six right here, knew what he was doing when he claimed Reed off of waivers.
I don't think this was luck. I think John knew. John had it. And John and his guys that do the evaluations, they knew that he was a good enough football player to play nickel, safety, or corner. That's what we came right in from the first day we were talking about him. So I think the quickness of his transition is what we're really surprised by, how easy it was for him to learn and to jump in. But our guys thought he was going to be a big factor for us. And
Jake, we were talking about DJ Reed, like I said, because he's been a huge factor, mm-hmm. and he exemplifies John Schneider's great research and communication with Carroll. John Schneider looked at this guy that San Francisco tried to sneak through waivers because he had a torn pec. They got away from him because Schneider knew what was up, and Schneider was able to communicate and say, this guy's probably not going to be ready until October, November. I mean, you've got a ways to wait with him. He's undersized, but I know he can play outside. Who would have seen that he would come in midway through the season, play so effectively, and do so at 5'9" at outside corner? So there's that signing, but there's plenty more that point you to thinking this is one of John Schneider's best years.
Yeah, absolutely. And also having to convince, as you had mentioned, that Pete could see DJ Reed playing not just as a nickel, because he's had smaller guys play nickel before. They like to have certain measurables that they have, 32-inch or longer arms. DJ Reed doesn't have that, but he is competitive, he is explosive, he is instinctual. And here in cut number six, Pete Carroll saying that I thought it was a different cut, but with Pete, he also, I did almost pull you, I almost went with the exact same cut there, I caught myself. But yeah, with Pete, though, he also went further on to say that John Schneider actually convinced him. He didn't see it initially that he could play on the outside. He saw him primarily as a nickel corner, and Schneider was saying no, he can play outside. And I think we have the soundbite right here.
I didn't. John did. Okay. That's important. Yeah. So we work together, and he helps me out sometimes when I make mistakes. As it started to happen, we saw some opportunities for him to play. We got the conversation going, and I said, sure enough, let's try him, there was no question that he could factor in. So that was the only problems there were my shortcomings.
And I think it says a lot about their relationship for Pete as the coach to listen to John Schneider, the GM, about personnel decisions and how it can translate onto the field. But Stacy, it leads me to say this, is that for any shortcomings, any mistakes that John Schneider has made or Pete Carroll and together have made in terms of their acquisitions, they have been able to supplement it with the additions that they've made or with the trades that they have made to go along with them. So, for example, you look at the addition of Quentin Dunbar, right? That didn't work out for the Seahawks. They traded a fifth-round pick. That fifth-round pick was a fifth-rounder that they ended up getting for, I think it was, as you had mentioned before, Nick Vinette. It was something like that. And so they were able to take a chance on Quentin Dunbar. Well, Dunbar doesn't work out. But the other thing that you did add to your team, the other player that you did add was DJ Reed, and he did step up for you. You were able to replace that. Bruce Irvin ends up getting hurt. You were able to replace him with a big trade in Carlos Dunlap. You were able to replace Bruce Irvin also with your first round pick in Jordan Brooks, who ends up playing Will. KJ moves to Sam, but you work that out. I mean, I think that there's been a lot of good that John Schneider has done. Adding Jamal Adams, the spark, the energy, the production that he has brought to this team is unquestionable, unquestioned. And even Brandon Schell being a surprise right tackle.
Oh, I was wrong about him.
How good he has been.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely wrong about him. But he has been fantastic. And I think that really has shown how great John has done. And every single rookie except for Daryl Taylor contributed at one point. Even Stephon Sullivan contributed at defensive end at one point. Stacey.
Yeah. He did. He sure did. That was pretty impressive for him. I think he might have even had a tackle in there. It was pretty nice.
He did. He did. He had a tackle for loss.
Yeah, such a likable kid. You know what? Going back to the Jamal Adams trade, it is you can't really say it was like a bargain thing. It was by far the biggest trade the Seahawks have made, giving away two first rounders. This wasn't like a with Quentin Dunbar. It felt like a wash, right? Like you made a trade in free agency where it wasn't much of anything. He didn't work out, but you knew that there was an injury history there, and so maybe there could be something there. With Jamal Adams, I don't know if you're always going to get credit for spending a lot of money and getting a nice player in return, right? But what I'll say is that he solved an issue they had with safety depth. Tedrick Thompson wasn't working out. Leno Hill wasn't working out. You had McDougald, who was there, but you needed some help. You needed someone else to add. So he made a midseason acquisition the year prior, brought in Quandre Diggs for a bargain. Mm-hmm. He ended up being one of your better players. And then he made a acquisition in the offseason, I think that summer, July, what, to bring in Jamal Adams. He not only solved that safety depth, he also solved the issue we have been talking about all 2019 season, all offseason after that, which was your pass rush and your sack totals. All year, mm-hmm. we had been complaining about it. And then when the Seahawks finally got it, we complained that it was from a safety and not a defensive end. Well, guess what? He also has the most sacks Correct. From any player on your team since Frank Clark was here. I mean, that is a phenomenal achievement. And I know that people are saying, oh, I'd like him to get a pick. I don't need a safety to be leading your team in interceptions. Would I like to see him get one? Sure. You traded two first round picks. I'd like to see someone who is going to be a core of your team many years moving forward and affects you in all facets of your defense. But you solve your biggest problem with a player that, and this is where the butt comes in, that you may have the chance to pay less than a defensive end.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And that is the biggest key of them all, right? Defensive ends are getting paid $25 to $27 million right now. So when you talk about Jamal Adams and you talk about the big price tag that he comes with and that he will come with, to me, it's easier to stomach knowing that he is such a versatile, talented player that is getting better and has all the talent to be a dominant cover safety in this league. He has the talent and ability to, obviously, that we've seen on full display, to be a disruptor in the run game and to generate tackles for loss and to get after the quarterback. This is a once in a generation mm-hmm. type of talent. And Jamal Adams is one of those guys, and you are so fortunate to have him. And Stacey, you talk about the sacks. 9.5 sacks right now is top 10 in the NFL. Right. It's outstanding.
Not even among DBs. We're talking players.
Right. And to fulfill the need that you had, or the desire for everyone to be able to have a defensive end that could rush the passer, well, you traded away your worst offseason acquisition in B.J. Finney, and you got Carlos Dunlap. I mean, for John Schneider to be able to make that happen mm-hmm. is unbelievable. So like I said, you don't hit on every single draft prospect. You don't hit on every single trade or free agent signing. But what has impressed me so much about John Schneider is I think he's done very well in the draft. I thought he did very well. All of those rookies have contributed. The Jordan Brooks picks looks outstanding. Damian Lewis looks like a serious mainstay in terms of, you know, Pro Bowl, All Pro type of guard in the future. And you look at what they've done in their acquisitions and their trades, they've been able to make up for some of the deficiencies that they had through some of the mistakes that they have made either through the past or even this offseason.
Now let's talk about those deficiencies, Jake. A little bit of a devil's argument coming from the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, and one that I think is very fair, and I'll join you in responding to these. From the 509, GM deserves some credit, but Greg Olson signing was just terrible. Could have used that cap space for other needs. Now, we all love Greg Olson, nicest guy in the world. But I think it's fair for people to say, well, what if you use that money on other stuff? Here's the thing. I'm taking the Mike Salk approach with this one shamelessly. If Greg Olson converts a key third down and you're in a Super Bowl and it wins you a Super Bowl, worth $8 million. I don't care. It's how he evaluated Percy Harvin, which I thought was so ridiculous when I heard it, because I was like, you gave up so much and you're saying because he performed in the Super Bowl, it's worth it. That's going to be my approach with Greg Olson. I do want to hear what you have to say about that one. One more, though. Someone did, like you said, mention the drafting and said, well, they've missed on a lot of draft picks. And I do have a response
past,
to that. But what do you have to say to either of those?
Well, first off, I mean, with Greg Olson, $7 million to a tight end who isn't necessarily bringing you incredible production outside of, you know, what Disley and Jacob Hollister has brought to you. That one is not one that you look back at and say, gosh, that was a no-brainer. That was an obvious one. But what I will say in terms of Greg Olson, he has come up on third downs. In terms of throughout the season, what Greg Olson also has done is he has allowed your offense to be multiple. He has made your offense more dynamic in terms of being a legitimate receiving tight end that you have to respect and that defenses respect when you bring two tight ends out on the field. And so I think to me, that's what Greg Olson has provided, is he's provided the ability for this offense to be multiple, to be explosive in a variety of different formations and personnel groupings, even if he's not the one that has brought the most production. And I also do think that, you know, sometimes the ball just doesn't go your way, and Greg Olson is not being force-fed the ball. It's not a priority to get Greg Olson the ball, and I think Greg has – when he's gotten his opportunities, it's very rare that he has dropped one. So I don't hate it. The only reason why I think you could look at it negatively is because of the amount of money that they paid him this season, $7 million. That's a lot for a tight end. And then in terms of the draft, Stacey, I think, yes, they are continuing to have to keep making up for the fact that they have not hit very much over the last few years, but the last 2 years in particular, 2020 and 2019, they have done a pretty good job with those draft picks if you look back at that 2019 class.
That's exactly right. A couple more good points is that they didn't know exactly where they were with the tight end situation. This is made by the 425. 425, I agree with you. You didn't know where Disley was going to be for this season. He was still coming back from an Achilles injury a year after coming back from a torn patellar tendon. You had no idea what he would look like. Jacob Hollister at that point was entering as, I believe, a restricted free agent, so you'd have to tender him and have right of first refusal, but he still had a chance to sign with other teams. And Luke Wilson was a free agent. You weren't sure if he was going to leave, if you were going to bring him back, what was going to happen there. So at the time, I'm assuming their logic was, let's get the best guy right now available that our quarterback loves, who we think can contribute to bring in and help us if none of these guys are here. It ended up that they had like an embarrassment of riches where we were looking at three tight ends in training camp that we were like forgetting their names and thinking like they had a million tight ends in that room. And it's a good point. Now the draft one is interesting. I want to get back to this. We don't have a ton of time right now, but I love the idea of kind of atoning for draft mistakes by making some really smart moves. Final point here, Jake. Final point. I like this one. Someone texting in and saying, you also got to give Schneider credit for the moves he didn't make. You know who's not here?
Yes.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Clowney.
Everson Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Unique Ngakoue. You know who has more sacks than all those guys? Weirdly enough, Jamal Adams. Who'd have thought? Let's get to NFL headlines. All right. Which head coaches do you think will be out of a job come Monday morning? You've got Anthony Lynn in L.A., Oh, man, you've got guys all over the place. Adam Gase, we've been talking about all year. Sounds like management could be fine with him moving forward. Maybe they believe that he's the right fit for whoever they decide to bring in as their future quarterback. No longer going to be Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence presumably going to go with the Jags. They could be out a head coach bringing in someone else. Who do we think will be here? Who do we think will get another year? I'm not thinking Anthony Lynn will be with the Chargers, although I do wonder if Justin Herbert's phenomenal rookie season has somehow given him a bit more life there.
I do think it has given him some life there. Anytime you have promise of a young rookie who is playing well, and you have the ability to kind of sell, hey, if we could have just stayed a little healthier and we can add some more talent in the draft or in free agency to help with our overall roster, you know, who knows what this team can be if we just keep everything status quo. So I think that's an easy, comfortable thing to do if you're the Chargers. And so I could easily see that happening there in Los Angeles with the Chargers. But to me, if you have Trevor Lawrence coming in, you need new blood. You need new life down there in Jacksonville. It is tired. Everybody down there does not like playing for Doug Marrone. I don't understand why you would give him another opportunity as a head coach in this league, especially with that franchise. They have done nothing since that outstanding year where they were loaded with defensive talent.
Man.
So I would be moving on and trying to find somebody that would either a Robert Sala who has a tremendous energy, or you're bringing in a young, bright offensive coach that can really help develop Trevor Lawrence and really build around him. So to me, Jacksonville, it's no question that they should be moving on. And I think we all know that the Jets opening is going to be happening, Stacey. I would be shocked if we didn't see that end up coming together.
What happened to Saxonville? That's what I want to know. One other one to mention here. How about Doug Peterson with the Eagles? It feels hard to believe that both Wentz and Peterson will be back. And I don't know if they can offload Wentz with that contract. Even if he's riding the bench, I don't know who's going to trade for him and take on all that money. So I'm not sure. I don't think Peterson necessarily deserves to be fired, although you could certainly make a fair argument. Absolutely. It was a sticky quarterback situation to begin the year and one that he did not handle well. So I think it might have ultimately cost him his job there, too.
Yeah, fully agree with you on that.
Moving on to upcoming game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Rams. Now, depending on what happens between Green Bay and Chicago, this could be an either-or situation for these teams to make the playoffs. You have to win to get in. Michael Brockers for the Rams will miss Sunday after being placed on the reserve COVID list. Now, that does make this game easier for Arizona, but guess who's not going to miss this game, Jake? Yeah, that's Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. They're still very much out there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They'll still be a dominant defense even without Michael Brockers. But Brockers has had one heck of a year for him this year. You know, they still got Leonard Floyd, who is playing outstanding football right now, coming off the edge, playing that outside linebacker position in Brandon Staley's 3-4 scheme. This is going to be a really, really tough game for the Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be a tough game for Kyler Murray. You know, Kyler Murray better hope that his leg injury isn't one where he loses a lot of his mobility, because if that's the case, I have a really hard time seeing Arizona win this game, Stacey, because I think the Rams will be able to win this game by just simply playing great defense and running the ball. If they can have success running the ball, I think they've got a great chance to win this one.
The state of New York will allow 6,700 Bills fans to attend the team's first home playoff game since 1995. An amazing event for these fans to finally, after all these years, be able to watch their team. I believe I read, I don't know if this is still happening, I believe I read that they would be doing rapid testing, which has itself come under criticism for not being entirely reliable. To answer the question I already know is coming on the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, no, I do not see the Seahawks opening up Lumen Field to any fans this year.
Yeah, I have a really hard time seeing that as well. I was shocked to see that New York was going to allow Bills fans, just with the stances that they have taken. But I do believe that, you know, Inslee, the governor here in the state of Washington, is pretty firm on his stance here in terms of how they're handling COVID. They just added their extension. We'll see what happens after that in January 11th. But I am right there with you, Stacey. I have a hard time seeing any Seattle Seahawks fans being able to enter Lumen Field this season.
Well, the Browns are getting no help in their upcoming game against the Steelers. They got to win to end the NFL's longest playoff drought, but they're going to have to do it without linebacker Malcolm Smith and cornerback Denzel Ward, both replaced on the COVID-19 reserve list. I'm not sure if Jarvis Landry's still on there. I think they have a two-week minimum.
So I think they activated four wide receivers.
Okay, so last week against the Jets, they were without their top receivers, several of their top receivers, so they'll finally have some help there. But once again, you'll lose some starters on your defense. But, Jake, I think there is still a possibility for the upset. Maybe it's because I'm holding out hope for the Bears. I feel like it can't be both. Either the Browns win or the Bears win. You can't have both teams winning this weekend. There's no way. But the Steelers will be playing without Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to rest him this week instead, starting Mason Rudolph for a bit of a reunion there.
Yeah, that will be.
It can't be crazier.
Quite fascinating
than the fight we just saw.
I will be curious. Well, that fight was pretty intense there.
Wow!
Shout out to Mike Leach's Mississippi State Bulldogs today.
Yeah,
holy
Mississippi
cow.
State Bulldogs. Wow. Tulsa, it went down.
It's the craziest fight I've ever seen. Besides, like, some insane baseball rush the mound kind of thing. Like, that was, all right. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, that was pretty insane. But in terms of this matchup, I really do think that when you talk about the Browns and Pittsburgh, they're also, T.J. Watt is not going to be playing as well. But this defense has been pretty good overall. And with Cleveland, this is a game that they are going to have to go out and earn. I don't care if Ben Roethlisberger's out there or not. You're going to have to go out there and earn it. You're going to have to go out there and you can show that you can beat Big Brother to be able to earn yourself a playoff spot. And I think that that would be a massive momentum builder for that program, that organization. And if they lose, gosh, it's just such a hard slap in the face of reality that you're still not good enough to get over the hump.
All right, Curtis, you got to defend your title, my friend, because it is going to be Niners, Niners, Niners. Curtis and Jake will face off in our weekly game show special Thursday edition because of New Year's Day tomorrow. It won't be to the death, but it could go into sudden overtime.
Loser has to stay
sudden
in 2020.
Death overtime.
Exactly. Oh!
Ring in the last show
just
of 2020
real.
With our game show. You guys can play along if you want. 710-710. Text in your answers. They are not, Curtis and Jake, allowed to look at it. So feel free to answer these questions as we go. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Niners, 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 Niners.
There's gold in them Dire Hills.
I was trying to think the other day of what your special little after the intro sound for this was, and I remembered that it was the prospector kind of one. All right.
It's a good one.
This is our weekly trivia
Legendary.
Game show, getting you guys ready for the upcoming matchup. You can play along with your own answers. Curtis and Jake are forbidden from looking at the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line,
Wouldn't
so
dare.
Send those in there. Yeah, don't cheat.
No
guys.
Way.
Okay, we're going to rotate.
Honor.
Asking questions to both of these guys to see who knows more about the Seahawks, the 49ers, and this upcoming matchup. Curtis, you won last week. Do you want to answer the first question or defer to the second question?
I'm going to defer this time.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Jake,
okay.
CJ Beathard will start under center for the 49ers. It's his sixth game of the season and his second start. Has he thrown an interception yet?
Has he thrown an interception yet? Stacey, I don't like the setup to this question. No, he has not thrown an interception. Yes!
Correct. T.J. Beathard, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Okay.
That's changing. That's changing Sunday.
Curtis, who's the 49ers sack leader?
Boy. They've got a lot of, like, no-name guys out there right now.
If you get this, oh, man, I would be so
man.
Impressed.
Oh, man.
I'm proud of myself.
Honestly, I have no idea.
It is Harry Hyder.
Yeah.
All right, Jake.
Gary Hyder Jr.
Jake, with the early lead, let's see if you can get this one. Jake, the best game any running back had against the 49ers is actually by a Seahawk who is no longer on this roster. That's in the head-to-head matchup, I should clarify. But it was a record set after 2010. This running back had 209 yards on 30 carries. Who was it?
Thomas Rawls.
Yes. Yes, it was Thomas Rawls.
A memorable day.
Yeah, actually, this isn't going to be one of the other questions. None of the single game performance records set in passing, receiving, or rushing are by a player who is going to be active or on either roster this Sunday. Nick Mullins is one of them, weirdly enough. But
really?
Obviously, he's not going to be playing. Yeah, isn't that wild? I think it's Matt Hasselbeck.
What does he have?
He had 400-something
like
yards in a loss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was a blowout loss.
Because the Seahawks have that weird stat where there's like 10 games they've been in where an opposing quarterback has had 400-plus yards but lost. And Nicholas Mullins is one of those. All right.
He's got a lot of them, yeah.
It is 2-0. Curtis.
Yeah.
I've complained all week about it. When was the last time the Seahawks surpassed 30-plus points?
It was against the New York Jets.
That's right.
When they scored 40.
A bit of a trick question there. People overlook that Jets game, man. Looking back to the Bills, looking back to the Cards. No, my friend. They actually surpassed 30 against the Jets. Okay, 2-1. Jake in the lead. Jake, if DK Metcalf surpasses 18 receiving yards this weekend, which feels very doable, he'll set which new franchise record?
Wait, 18 receiving yards?
Uh-huh. If he gets 18-plus receiving yards.
Okay, he will set Steve Largent's single-season receiving record?
No. Well, what? Yes, that's with six. With six, he's going to tie it. But with 18, he becomes the first Seahawk ever to set a single season receiving yard period with 1,300 yards. No Seahawk has ever had 1,300 receiving yards.
That's what it says.
Oh no.
Curtis,
maybe I just like my games interesting. Wow. Curtis with a chance to tie it up here.
I like this twist.
Well, look, yeah. Okay. Some of us have a lot to prepare on these days. Curtis. I've already got to make my bacon wrap a little smoky. I have a lot to prepare. Curtis, who is the 49ers' leading receiver this year? You're getting all the roster questions that Jake would excel at.
Leading receiver this season.
Jake's fuming right now.
Come on.
good night. This is a really bad. Is it Brandon Ayuk?
Yes! Dang it!
Yeah.
It's Brandon Ayuk. Jacob.
Yes.
I just picked the healthiest receiver they've had all year.
I know. this is, I need you to listen carefully to this question. By making this scoring play, which is neither a touchdown or a field goal, the Seahawks can set which NFL single season record? The answer is in the question. If you listen carefully.
If I listen, can you say it one more time?
By making this scoring play neither a touchdown or field goal, the Seahawks can set which single-season NFL record?
A defensive touchdown?
Which is neither a touchdown nor a field goal.
Which is neither... sacks. Sacks.
Neither a scoring
safety.
Play.
Safety.
I'll allow the correction.
What?
He knows sacks aren't a scoring play. Come on.
He said
you know
so
what?
Confidently.
I did say the Bears game would be impacted by an AFC matchup, and even though I know they were in the AFC, I was reading the NFL's email wrong. You guys allowed me to make
the
correction. I'll allow this for Jake. What's the score right now, Jake?
Thank you. It is 3-2.
I have a chance to tie it here.
A chance to tie it for Curtis. As we do every single week, this is a question that requires that you be listening to something that I have said.
I don't know.
This was in our open. Curtis, name the three teams this year averaging 30 or more points per game. Please think very carefully about this. One of them may not be entirely obvious.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. Jake doesn't know.
Another
I don't know.
One
Maybe.
Is
Maybe I do.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
But that third team, oh, that sneaky third team, is it? Is it the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No, you're so close. They have 29.9. It is the Tennessee Titans.
Gross.
I know. I know. I see. I read it that way because I knew you might say the New Orleans Saints, who are at 29.9 also. The Bills at 29.1 or 29.7. Three teams this year with 30-plus points are the Packers, Titans, and Chiefs, which means, unfortunately, Curtis, I am so sorry. I didn't want to end 2020 this way. It's the last thing I wanted. J-Keeps is the winner of our weekly game show. Oh, man. Now we've got to worry about
have
his
fun stuck in 2020, Curtis.
Infamous forever! We're going to wrap up our last show of 2020 right when we sum it up next.
The wait is over.
They're going to wait him in.
It's time to sum it up with Jake and Stacy.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back!
Welcome back in to Jake and Stacy. Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross here with you. As a reminder, you guys, don't forget you can listen to our show anytime via the 710 Sports app powered by Dubin Law Group. Listen to us live. You can also download all of our podcasts, interviews, all that good stuff to listen to them at your own leisure. It is our final show of 2020. It's the final day of 2020. Hopefully on Monday, when me and Jake and Curtis get back in here, we're talking about a Seahawks win, finishing the season 12-4 and previewing their upcoming opponent for a great playoff stretch. I mean, fingers crossed that this is because we'll be on a bye week and the Seahawks somehow miraculously snag the number one
Woo!
Seed.
Oh,
but,
that'd be amazing.
But, guys, it's a lot of sports talk for today, a lot of Seahawks talk for today, rightfully so, heading into a huge game, final game of the season, and a great season. But let's take a minute to just talk about 2020. It's been a tough year, a weird year, a strange year, a different year for every single person around the world, in this country, in our city. So let's talk about what 2020 has meant to us, what we learned this year. And let's open up the Busy Hard Seltzer text line before I forget to include you guys. We always want you guys to be part of this, too. 710-710. We want to hear you sound off about this, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Stacy, it's been a crazy ride. It has been a crazy ride. And I think for all of us, we have been impacted in some form or fashion. The station has been impacted in some, you know, dramatic ways. And I think that when we look back at 2020, Stacy, we were still, you and I, within our first year of doing everyday radio and excited and looking forward to, you know, bringing everything that we could to the show and all that. And boom, now we're in a situation where we're doing sports radio every day without sports. And all of a sudden, you know, the coronavirus just totally changes everything. And then you have, you know, the George Floyd incident that ended up happening and the just how much that exploded the conversations and changed and shifted conversations.
Important conversations.
And important conversations that were also uncomfortable, right? And just things that as a show, as a group, as a station, that we've gone through a lot of hardship. And so I just really, as I look back at 2020, Stacy, I'm extremely appreciative of our listeners. I am extremely appreciative of you guys, our audience, who have been with us from the very beginning and who have been through this whole process with us, who've been through the ups and the downs, who have been through the emotional times, and who have come to our station, come to 710. Through all of this to kind of have an escape from some of this and to spend your time to hang with us. And it really, truly, I don't want to get emotional, but it touches me. It really does. It hits me deep that we could provide that for people, that we can just come in and hang out and have fun and during so much hardship and be able to talk about the things that we love. And so I'm so incredibly grateful for that. I'm incredibly grateful for Bonneville, our station, 710, everybody that's worked here, everybody, all the engineers, and everybody that's worked so yep. hard to get us off the ground, to help us be remote and do all of this. Without them, we wouldn't be able to function in this particular situation. So just incredibly grateful for everyone and all the effort that our station has put in to make this all possible.
Now, there's been some good news, because even though it's been an impossibly difficult year for everyone, you got to look at some of the things that we do cherish from it. I think, unsurprisingly for me, a lot of those have been the things that matter most. And Curtis Rogers, I'm going to shout you out. Curtis Rogers, you got married this year, and Curtis and his wife, Brenna, yes. welcoming their very first baby. Baby Rogers will be born in 2021, but found out, y'all, we're going to be having baby Rogers this year. Going to be a first-time father.
Yeah, it's been crazy just experiencing those highs and not being able to celebrate them in the yeah. way that we normally would under, any sort mm-hmm. of normal circumstance. But being able to have those positives happen in my life, it makes you appreciate them more because of just all that is going on and all that other people are experiencing. Just feeling so fortunate to have, a roof over our head and to have, a baby on the way. And I mean, we've had our lives impacted in ways too, it's been a crazy year. We've had some incredibly high highs, incredibly low lows, but through it all, we're here. We're ready to fight 2021. We're ready for 2021.
Heck yeah.
Let's
Heck
go.
Yeah,
Let's
we are.
Go.
Let's go,
we
21.
Better be,
what do you
gonna
got?
Be a baby
it can't get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, we better be ready. There's a baby coming in 5 yeah. months.
I can't wait till we find out if it's a boy or girl.
Yeah, the one part of this union that I was really disappointed about was, the fact that I know you had asked me to be, your officiant, Curtis, and that we couldn't make it happen.
I
that
know.
Was the
I
one
wanted to be
thing
flower
that
girl.
I was just,
oh, I know.
Man, I was so bummed.
Jake
Stacey,
was ready.
It would be weird to have an 80-year-old flower girl
okay.
out there. But,
wow.
That is incredibly offensive. You know what? Speaking of, I am thankful that my fall down the stairs resulted in no serious injury. And what was actually maybe my favorite thing about this job, which is all of us teasing each other and uplifting each other and being just having a ton of fun together, even though my hip and my back were not in good shape. I think that mm-hmm. what I've loved most, at least about 2020, is, like you said, Jake, working through one of the weirdest sports years, certainly, and still trying to find ways to have conversations. Sometimes those are really important conversations that are uncomfortable for a lot of people, but that doesn't take away from their importance. And other times it was conversations we tried to make fun, right? Game shows, trivia, previews, interviews with players and rookies who were in their very first mm-hmm. year and jumping into the NFL in an unprecedented situation and their positive yeah. outlook about it. And I don't know, I've learned a lot about myself and I have learned a lot about writing with the negatives of things and trying to have a positive outlook. I think that's been my biggest takeaway. And I don't know. You guys make it all so fun. So I love both of you. And I love all of our listeners. You guys also make this amazing.
One of the other things, Stacey, too, is that when I sometimes we had to have conversations or drag out conversations that we wanted nothing to deal with. If I had to talk one more day about Major League Baseball negotiations
oh, no.
between the players' oh, union no. and the ownership, I was going to lose my mind.
It's not that it wasn't interesting, but you guys, this was something that was like our primary focus because it was all we had
for
a full month. So day 29,
all
you're like.
June.
You're like, all right, look, not loving
is
this.
Is it going to be 80 games? Is it going to be 60 games? How about
Who knows
70?
What it's
100,
be.
Maybe.
Here's what Trevor Bauer had to say about
games.
It.
Oh, my gosh, that was unbelievable. But, you know, hey, look, we did our best to try and bring a new perspective on it each and every single day. And it was really one of the only things that was going on at the time that had any legs to carry on a conversation. But, you know, I think that those are the things that, you know, it helps you grow. It, you know, through adverse times, you really find out, you know, what each other are all about. And I think that, you know, really stands out to me. And, you know, this was one of those situations in 2020 where I very much look forward to 2021, where hopefully we can have more interaction with each other, where we can hopefully be back out watching baseball games. We can be back hopefully next year in stadiums and watching football games together and cheering for our teams and rooting each other on and having that hope and that optimism that things are, you know, better days are ahead. You know, we also have to acknowledge the fact that, you know, we lost some friends here as well at the station. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, you look at it from engineers. I mean, you know, Curtis talks about some of the lows of the lows. I mean, you know, Brenna, his wife, yep, who worked here, was an amazing engineer. There were cuts made there, you know, cuts to Clayton and Tom, who Tom Wassel, who helped us get our show started and off the ground, and how that was a difficult, you know, thing to go through, and obviously wish him all the best and all the success in the world. And Jim Moore, who I've loved through my years, and him covering me as a high school athlete. I mean, there's been some difficult times, especially here on this station. And I love you guys. I love our listeners. I love this group here that we have now currently here, and excited to take on the world in 2021.
All right. Last day of 2021. Happy New Year's Eve to everyone. We hope you have safe and happy celebrations. Everyone have a great night. We will talk to you guys on Monday. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're recapping a great Seahawks win. This has been Jake Heap, Stacey Ross, Curtis Rogers here with you. We'll see you guys Monday.
Happy holidays. Merry New Year.